This is The Caretaker, and you are listening to The Graveyard Show.
Welcome to The Graveyard.
And welcome to another edition of the Graveyard Show podcast. I am your caretaker, and the graveyard is open. Well, as you heard at the top of the show, there is no guest for this podcast. It's just going to be you and me for this program. Well, and the guard dog as well. I'll try not to be too loud. I don't want to wake Cujo up. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you can't have a guard dog and not name it Cujo, right? So this is a first for the Graveyard Show podcast. Basically, what's happening is I have a bunch of interviews that I have lined up for the month of May. I just don't know when they're going to be done. And it's a matter of my guests' schedule as well as my schedule. And sometimes it works out great, sometimes it doesn't. So instead of waiting to do another interview for the show, I figured I would do this particular podcast, and I'm calling it News, Notes, and Joe Bob Returns. I decided to go back and take a look at the numbers for this one. So for the first run of the Graveyard Show podcast back in 2009 and 2010, we being myself and The Undertaker, who filled in for me on a number of shows back in those days, we had done 76 podcasts with roughly 88 guests on those shows. I'm not including any duplicates, because some guests were return guests over time. And then we had a total of 3 monthly contributors that we rotated during the month as well. With version 2 of the Graveyard Show podcast, I started at Tombstone 17 because 1 through 16 were going back and looking at interviews from the 9-10 show. So from Tombstone 17 through last Tombstone, which is 44, that's 28 shows with 26 guests. Now, you're probably wondering how I got that number. Two of those podcasts were a re-air of the original Graveyard Show podcast with Jack Messett. And then I had a return guest in Jason Hignite, who was also on the original version. So I didn't count them. And then, of course, I had David Weiner on about 100 of these shows as well. So I didn't include that in the numbers. So roughly, that is 102 guests over about 104 podcasts or so. Not bad. I'll take that record any day. So, of course, there's always a first for something. So why not be here? And why not it be me hosting my show and just kind of yapping like I used to back in the day? The original Graveyard Show podcast would be me saying hello, me doing the news, and then eventually somewhere along the line getting to the interview. Some of those podcasts were very long, and sometimes I go back and look at them and go, yikes, what was I thinking? But it was new. It was different back in those days, and I'm always looking to try to streamline the process with these podcasts as well. So very quickly, if you would like to reach out to me, the email address is gyspodcast@gmail.com. That's caretakersawesome@gmail.com. You can send me thoughts, comments, and if you're part of the horror community and you have something to promote, please do not hesitate to reach out as well. So I'm going to get into news, some other notes, and then I'll give you my thoughts on the return of Joe Bob, Darcy, and the gang to Shudder. But first, let's start with the news. I first wanted to just mention you can catch the boys over at Dead Pit. They are a staple of horror podcasting. And you can catch them at their website, which is deadpit.com, and you can also catch them on YouTube as well. I am on their emailing list. Unfortunately, when I get their emails, it always times out poorly, and I always seem to either forget to do it or it's already past the point. So check them out. It's deadpit.com, and again, you can catch them on YouTube as well. I believe they had Barbara Hershey on talking, doing a live commentary over The Entity not too long ago. So they do stuff like that. Check it out. They got tons of stuff on their YouTube channel. And they've been around for quite a while. So check them out when you can. So RLJE Films and Shudder have nabbed the film Allegoria just ahead of its world premiere at Panic Fest. The film is written by Spider One, who also is making his directorial debut. The film stars Chrissy Fox, Adam Bush, Bryce Johnson, and Scout Compton. In the film Allegoria, a group of artists' lives become unwittingly entangled as their obsessions and insecurities manifest monsters, demons, and death. The film is going to be released on VOD, digital, and streaming on Shudder August 2nd. Check it out. There's a new trailer out for the film Monstrous. The film is directed by Chris Sivertson, who did I Know Who Killed Me, as well as All Cheerleaders Die. And the film was written by Carol Crest. The film stars Christina Ricci, Colleen Camp, Santino Bernard. And the synopsis of the film is as follows. A terrifying new horror awaits Laura, played by Christina Ricci, and her 7-year-old son, Cody, when they flee her abusive ex-husband and try to settle into a new life in an idyllic and remote lakeside farmhouse. Still traumatized, their physical and mental well-being are pushed to the limit as their fragile existence is threatened. The film is an official selection of the 2022 Glasgow Fright Fest, and it will be in theaters and on demand starting May 13th. Brief note, None 2 is in production. No release date as of yet. That's all I got. I just happened to see that on Bloody Disgusting the other day. You probably did as well, so I'm probably not telling you anything new. Arrow Video announced the upcoming release of Giallo Essentials Black Edition. This is going to be Arrow's third Blu-ray collection of classic Italian Giallo movies from the early 1970s. This volume of Giallo Essentials celebrates the range and breadth of the genre with three lesser seen films from its early 1970s heyday. Those three films are Smile Before Death, The Weapon, The Hour, The Motive, and The Killer Reserved 9 Seats. I have to say, I love the titles of these Giallo movies. It's just, they're so provocative and interesting. Stuff you would never see nowadays. Could you imagine a movie coming out today called The Killer Reserved 9 Seats, or Strip Nude for Your Killer, or The Forbidden Photos of a Lady Above Suspicion? A lizard in a woman's skin. Here it is. Your vice is a locked room and only I have the key. Could you imagine any of these titles in today's day and age? It's just so awesome. I love this one, The House with Laughing Windows. That's a good one. I'm looking these up right now because there's no way I would remember all these in my tiny little brain. It's just The Night Evelyn Came Out of the Grave is a good one. The Red Queen Kills 7 Times. Death Walks at Midnight. There it is. A Time Gone By, that's for sure. Getting back to Giallo Essentials Black Edition, all three of the films are going to be restored in 2K from their original camera negatives, including brand new Arrow exclusive restorations of Smile Before Death and The Weapon, The Hour, The Motive, alongside a range of in-depth bonus features. The new collection arrives on July 26th. Speaking of giallos, Dario Argento's film Tenebra, I know how I pronounce it. Tenebra gets a 4K ultra high def upgrade from Synapse as well as Arrow. Here we go. So Arrow Video and Synapse Films are joining forces for this brand new release that was just announced. You can pre-order now from both Synapse in the United States and Arrow in the UK. It's going to be a 3-disc 4K ultra high def Blu-ray. Yikes, that's a lot right there. 3-disc 4K ultra high def Blu-ray. It's going to be a 6,000 piece limited edition box set that pays tribute to the 40th anniversary of Tenebra. I liked Unsane better as a title. It's just easier for me to say. The film Tenebra, see, now I'm in my head with this. The film was released in 1982. There you go. 40th anniversary, see? You already knew that anyway. You didn't need me to tell you that. There's also going to be an alternate 2,000-piece variant cover version of the set that's only available from Synapse Films' website, as well as a Diabolique DVD. Of course, the film stars Anthony Franciosa, as well as John Saxon, Daria Nicolodi, John Steiner. And, you know, it's so funny. Whenever I watch this movie, it's obviously one of my favorites, and I'm sure many of yours as well. I always imagine William Shatner in the role of Peter Neal. I always wondered how different it would really be. I don't think it'd be very different. It would have been pretty cool, though, if Shatner was Peter Neal in this. It would have been very interesting. It's going to be a stunning all-new 4K restoration of the film. It's going to include hours of extras, and for the first time ever, the alternate U.S. theatrical cut, which I just mentioned, insane. There's going to be tons of bonus features, as well as the other bonus features that came with the original release that they did of Tenebra. Disc 2 of this, really quickly, it's going to include the Unsane version. And again, if you're not familiar with that, when it first came to the United States, it was called Unsane. So with that, it's going to be the 4K, it's going to be a 2160p ultra-high def Blu-ray presentation in Dolby Vision. And it's going to be in its original 1.85 by 1 aspect ratio. It's going to be the re-edited 90-minute U.S. version, which is specially recreated for this release from the new 4K restoration of the full-length 101-minute version exclusive to ultra-high def. Two audio options you're going to get, which is a recreation of the original theatrical experience complete with jump cuts and sudden audio shifts, and a new, more seamless edit created for this release, both in restored DTS HD MA lossless English mono. You're going to have optional English subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing, as well as the original Take Me Tonight stereo EP recording performed by Kim Wilde. Here in the United States, the release is going to be July 26th. It's going to be the same as Giallo Essentials Black Edition. So there you go. You can get a whole bunch of Giallo films at the same time. More restoration news, as the 1989 slasher film Hell High, otherwise known as Raging Fury, it's coming to Blu-ray in the United States, the UK, and Canada from Arrow Video. And I have to be honest, I don't remember this film. So this is kind of new for me. You know, it's amazing how many films kind of slip through the cracks sometimes. Fans in the United States and the UK can grab this film with the Raging Fury slipcover, which is the film's alternate title. So the film synopsis is as follows. When high school football hero John, played by Christopher Cousins, quits the team, he winds up falling in with a group of outcasts led by the sadistic Dickens, played to unhinged perfection by the late Christopher Stryker. With a willing new recruit in tow, the gang's youthful hijinks soon spiral into a night of abject horror when they decide to play a cruel prank on the home of their teacher, Miss Storm, who, unbeknownst to the youngsters, harbors a dark and tormented past. Hell High, which was released in some international territories as Raging Fury, is a singular entry in the 1980s horror canon, melding elements of the revenge movie with the trappings of the slasher genre to delirious effect. School's out forever. I always wanted to do that. Special edition contents include a brand new 2K restoration from the original negative, approved by cinematographer Steven Feuerberg. You're going to get HD Blu-ray presentation, original uncompressed stereo audio, optional English subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing, and a whole host of other stuff. You can pre-order your copy from Diabolique today, arriving July 19th. Well, you've heard the term jumping the shark. And, well, I think we've gone way past that when it comes to shark movies. We have had every shark movie made known to mankind, going from Sharknado to, obviously, the Jaws movies to the Meg to Ghost Shark and all the other shark movies made for Sci-Fi Channel. Well, I think we have finally reached the end of the genre. As a new film coming out of China has decided to take a bite, I couldn't resist, out of an old Saturday Night Live skit from the 1970s. Yep. Landshark is coming to a home video near you in May. The trailer is online. Good luck. So that's going to wrap up the news portion of this. For some notes, I wanted to mention that Weary Pines, the awesome duo of Jamie Chambers and Don McLennan Jr., of course, the composers of the In Search of Darkness as well as In Search of Tomorrow soundtracks. Well, their In Search of Tomorrow soundtrack is now available on CD. It's £10. Which roughly equals about 13 US dollars, or maybe 100 US dollars, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. Yeah, that's how bad it's getting here in the United States. So you could check it out if you can afford the $10 and help these guys get their music out there and throw them a payday. It is always appreciated. I know I'm going to be ordering mine. And they just do some great work. You can also catch them on Spotify. And if you don't own music and you just prefer to stream, if you can stream a Weary Pines on Spotify and on Apple, I know the guys would really greatly appreciate it. It just helps the algorithms and everything else that goes on in this new age that we live in. It just helps them out and get them noticed and, gets them, more in the referral section when people listen to other music. So if you can help them out, that would be great. They're awesome. And if you did not catch their interview on this show, go back and check it out. It was great. And they're really good guys and talented musicians, to say the least. Speaking of music, yours truly, being a resident of the Los Angeles area, I decided a little while ago to go down to one of my favorite places, Amoeba Records. Now, if you're not familiar with Amoeba Records, there are two of them here in California. The original was opened in San Francisco in the Haight-Ashbury district. And then the second one is down here in Hollywood. And they just recently relocated. They used to be on Sunset and Cahuenga, and now they're over near like Hollywood and Vine over in that area. And they moved to a smaller, and smaller's relative, I guess, for them. But they used to be in this huge building, and they used to have live musical performances in there. And anyway, so they relocated, and they did it, I think it was actually either right before or right when the lockdowns happened, right? So timing, right? So I've only been there once, and I decided a few weeks ago to go and hang out and just kind of kill part of the day down there and just kind of walk around. Because whenever I go to record stores, I'm from the generation of, you go to a record store and you can spend an entire day there. We used to do that in the malls, and even in like Barnes & Noble. Whenever I would go, there's one in the San Fernando Valley I would go to, and it was just ginormous. And it was just you could kill an entire day just walking around, finding different books. And anyway, so getting back to Amoeba. So when I go to Amoeba, I always go through there and then find, a bunch of stuff that I want to buy, and then I wind up changing it. Usually the first couple of CDs I usually pick up never usually make it back because I always change them out for something else. And yes, I still buy CDs. I would prefer to buy vinyl, but I'm currently without a record player. I'm in the process of getting a new one. I just have to find one that I really want to buy. But anyway, so while I'm walking around, I'm kind of looking at, the usual rock and, hanging out and going to the jazz section, going into the soundtrack section. Well, they also sell movies there. And if you go to the very back of Amoeba Records, along the back wall, it kind of runs perpendicular to the punk music area. They have a bunch of boxes, and it literally is like $3.99 and less. Blu-rays and DVDs they're just getting rid of. So, you can find some great stuff in there. I saw a bunch of Dark Knight Blu-rays in there. And anyway, I came across a movie I hadn't seen in a long time, but was featured in Search of Tomorrow. And that movie is The Road Warrior, the classic second Mad Max film. And they were selling it for $3.99. They had a couple of copies there. So I was just checking it out. And I'm like, I haven't seen it in a while. Just watched In Search of Tomorrow. I had David on the show. So, you know, $3.99, not breaking the bank. So I bought it and went home to my caretaker's quarters here in the graveyard. Popped it in the old Blu-ray player. And, man, you know, I had forgotten how great that movie is. It is so fantastic. And, again, when you think about it, it's from 1982, 40 years ago. And you got to, you know, think about before cell phones, before, you know, computers, before all this stuff, and you're making these movies, you know, out in the desert or in the outback of Australia, and, you know, you're doing these incredible stunts. It's just such a fantastic film. And if you get a chance, go back and watch it. And if you live in L.A., hey, you can get it for $3.99 and own it. You're not going to regret it. But if you don't, I'm sure there's a million places online you can find it as well. You can just go to a website like justwatch.com. It'll show you where it's available. But I highly recommend, if you've never seen it, if you're not familiar with it, or if you haven't watched in a while, check it out. It's so awesome. Speaking of music, you know, one of the cool things that I like to do, I don't know if you consider it cool, but one of the things I like to do is there's certain times of the year here in L.A., where the temperature gets, you know, cool. You know, for us, winter, you know, can be in the 50s. Sometimes it drops in the 40s. There's some mornings where it actually gets down to the mid to low 30s. But there's some nights where I'm driving around. If I'm driving either from Hollywood into the San Fernando Valley or vice versa, and I'm driving through one of the canyon roads, especially if it's late at night and it's one of those really cool nights, and if you get a smattering of fog coming over, I always like to put in the Fog soundtrack. I have it on my iPod. Yes, I still have an iPod, but I always keep it on there most of the year, because you just never know. Because sometimes even during the summer, sometimes it gets a little chill in the air depending on the time of year, but. It's one of those things. I'm curious if any of you have ever done that. Ironically enough, I've never done it in San Francisco all the times that I've been up there. One of these days, I'm going to have to do it. Because there's some awesome places in San Francisco you can go to where there's just, you know, fog aplenty. But it's just one of those things. It doesn't even have to be a foggy night. If it's just one of those really nice, cool nights, like in the 50s, roll down the windows, and, you know, it's just awesome. It's also soothing, yet it's also a good mood creator. As well, especially the early tracks in the soundtrack with the piano. But I'm curious if any of you have ever done something like that. Let me know. gyspodcast@gmail.com. So let's talk about Joe Bob. Joe Bob, Darcy, and the gang have returned. Ironically enough, it was when I was thinking about doing this podcast last Friday. I had no idea, because I'm not on social media, that Joe Bob was coming back for the new season at this point in time. So I found out an interesting way. I got my usual Fright Rags email, and Ben Scrivens said, hey, here's all new Last Drive-In merchandise for Joe Bob's season 4 premiere. So I went online just to confirm that it was that Friday, and sure enough, it was. And Joe Bob, it's tough for me to watch it live because it's on Friday nights, and that's, you know, my wife and I are spending time together. I mean, you know, we're going out and having a date night, or, you know, just kind of relaxing and you know, just spending time together. So it's really hard for me to watch Joe Bob live. So most of the time I catch him on streaming. I almost said repeat. Yikes. I'm from a bygone time, aren't I? So for this particular time, I actually was able to catch part of the open of the show, and he's talking, and I wasn't sure what movie he was talking about. It was the 100th movie that they had on The Last Drive-In. And I'm not going to give anything away. I'm going to talk about it, but I'm not going to give away any surprises in the show. There is a surprise, and I'm not going to ruin it. So if you haven't seen it yet, don't worry, I'm not going to ruin it. So I'm watching it, and he's talking about the black and white movie. Now, I am going to tell you what movie it is. There's a reason for that. So if you don't want to know what movie it is, you should bail now. It turns out he's talking about Night of the Living Dead. And I'm like, wow, okay, this is great. Because if you're a regular listener of the Graveyard Show podcast, you know what a fan of Romero's I am, as well as what an influence he was on me as I was studying to become a filmmaker and get involved in movies and all that stuff back in my college days. And I've had several podcasts on about George Romero. I had his widow, Suzanne Desrochers Romero, on, as well as Judith O'Day from the original Night of the Living Dead, as well as I've spoken about his films with author Kim Paffenroth, who did a book called Gospel of the Living Dead, which was about, at the time, the first four zombie movies. And if you haven't read that, highly recommend it. It's great. And I've also built a George Romero wing here in the graveyard, so you can catch that on the YouTube channel as well. So seeing Joe Bob talking about Night of the Living Dead, of course, I'm locked and loaded. And I was watching. I watched up until the first interruption, and then I had to go. But I went back and watched the rest the following day. And, you know, Joe Bob is such a master. I'm not telling you anything you probably already don't know, and I'm not saying anything that's original, but I feel like I need to say it. Joe Bob is such a master. You know, he's more than just a, quote, you know, horror host. Here's somebody who is someone who knows about cinema, who's written about it, who's done movie reviews, who knows the history of it. And he just is such a treasure that I hope everyone out there really appreciates what you're getting right now with Joe Bob, because I feel like sometimes we just get so used to things that you don't appreciate them while they're there. So I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to Joe Bob. Thank you to Darcy. Thank you for the crew on The Last Drive-In. You all just kick ass out there. You guys put on a great show, great product. It's always fun to watch. There's a reason why you are so popular and why people say they will get rid of their Shudder subscription if they cancel the show. It really is. Joe Bob and Darcy just work so well together. It's so well done. And there's stuff that happens not only in the first film, but there's stuff that goes on, which I won't give away, in the second film, which I won't tell you what that is. I'll leave that. You can go find out what that is. But there's stuff that happens in it that's just so great, and it's just so much fun. And you learn, and you're entertained, and there's just a lot of heart and just a lot of passion that goes into that show. I learned stuff about Night of the Living Dead that I didn't even know about, and I'm sort of a fanatic when it comes to that movie. Joe Bob talks about, you know, how and why it went into the public domain, gives some information regarding the distribution of the film, talks about, you know, the cast, and gives you an insight, into what each person, you know, was doing at the time of making that film. And, you know, one of the things I think people forget about is that George Romero and his team, you know, they were making commercials. And as a matter of fact, if you got the first, I think it might have been the first DVD release of Night of the Living Dead, it's the one that has Kira Schoen on it, the girl in the film. It's sort of the famous picture of her with kind of her hair over the one side of her face looking down, that they've used on cover of books. There was one DVD release that had her on the cover, and I believe the jewel case was red. And on that DVD, they included some commercials that Romero had directed. So if you've never checked it out, I'm sure you can find it out there in internet land, but check it out. It's really interesting because also, you know, I kind of forget having grown up watching these, you know, a lot of these commercials were made like, you know, short movies, you know, like 1 minute movies or so. And a lot of them are kind of quiet and they just kind of just do their thing. And there's like a story in it. It's really interesting. When you look at what commercials are now versus what commercials were then, no judgment on better or worse. It's just different. And because there are sure some amazing commercials and really witty commercials that are being made now. But it's just different how the process was done from then to now. But yeah, it's really interesting. Night of Living Dead information you can get from Joe Bob on this program. And it actually is the first time he's hosted that film. He's never done a show on Night of Living Dead, ironically enough. So there you have it. So the caretaker says 4 stars. Check it out. All right, I'm going to begin to close down the graveyard here because I think I talked all of our ears off at this point. But before I go, I just want to mention Catacombs of Horror. It is a video production that I produce exclusively for online content. You can find it on YouTube on the Graveyard Show Podcast's YouTube channel. Currently, I have 3 videos that are available on it. It's in a playlist, so if you go to the Graveyard Show Podcast, go down to playlists, you'll see Catacombs of Horror. And the 3 productions I've done is What Best Represents 1980s Horror, Favorite Scenes from Count Yorga Vampire, and the latest edition that I dropped is my favorite scenes from Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, as well as the missed opportunity the Halloween series could have taken. And why I also think that H4 is the most important film in the series outside of the original. By the way, Halloween fans, where are you guys? Do not make me regret doing this. I spent the entire month of February putting this together. Do not make me regret doing this, because I can tell you right now, Count Yorga fans are out there and they're gobbling up the favorite scenes of Count Yorga Vampire. And also, Catacombs of Horror is going to have its own YouTube channel very soon. It's up right now, but it only has the Count Yorga video on it. I have to go in and re-edit the other 2 videos. I'm doing a new way of putting markers on it and putting studio credits on it and stuff. To kind of help out with some of the copyright issues. If you don't know my copyright issues that I had with the Count Yorga video, go back 1 podcast and I talk about it on there. So Catacombs of Horror, and also on YouTube, we are currently building a new vault. And that vault is going to be containing the old BC's video vault segments from the original Graveyard Show podcast from 9 and 10. And I think there are 7 of them. It's Brian Collins from Horror Movie A Day. He was a monthly contributor, and he would review, I can't remember, it's like 2 or 3 movies a month. So we had a segment called BC's Video Vault. So I thought I would chop those up from their original podcasts and put them online on their own, so you can catch that as well. Make sure you subscribe to the Graveyard Show Podcast YouTube channel, and you will be alerted when all of these new videos are uploaded for your entertainment pleasure. That's going to do it for me, my friends. You can find the Graveyard Show Podcast everywhere podcasts exist, and as I mentioned, the YouTube channel as well. If you know anyone who's a fan of horror, please invite them to enter the graveyard. New listeners and friends are always welcome. Well, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I did. This was kind of different and fun. And in the meantime, I'm going to be getting these next bunch of interviews together. So Tombstone 46, I should have a guest. I believe I know who that guest will be, but I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not going to spoil it until it's actually done. So there you go. All right. It was great having you here inside the graveyard, and I look forward to seeing you again very soon. And as you exit the graveyard, I would like to remind you to please lock the gate behind you. We wouldn't want anyone to get out. Until next time.